Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They are the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonic's wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonic's accessible, a complete system with you as a core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. You're in for a very... That's not how we do the opening at all, is it?
No. Again, you should write it down so that you don't cock it up like every single time. Yeah,
you would think. Okay, here we go. We'll do it again.
All right, go ahead.
Take 5,000,002. Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the TSR Podcast Network to discuss historical and New England gaming. Today, we're talking about what to do when you're just not feeling it, when you need to get your hobby mojo back, but for whatever reason, you just feel like in a slump and you don't know what to do. Nothing appeals to you. So, of course, I said, well, hey, I'm not going to talk about this by myself. I need to have my friend, my buddy, and my co-host, Mr. Adrian Benson, here with me. Adrian, how are you?
Just great, John. Busy, as you know, but yeah, great.
This seemed like a topic that would be very fitting for you because, I mean, you just mentioned about being busy, but it feels like lately you've kind of been in a hobby slump.
I have, which is pretty disappointing because people who've been following along on like Facebook and whatnot know we've got the two projects we're working on with ESR and also All Our Freedom. And I was, by my standards, for a while there on fire with the painting and assembling and everything. And it was great. But as you know, I've got just a lot of stuff going on, like in real life. And none of it's working out, and it's kind of really messed everything up. I haven't touched a paintbrush in, I don't know, a month and a half. It's been a while. I keep looking at the stuff because it's still on the table on the bench to be painted. And I'm like, I should get back to that. And I will someday, maybe this weekend. But yeah, it's just by the time, of course, you got work, which sucks. And then everything outside of work, which lately sucks because nothing is coming together the way it's supposed to. It's yeah, there's just no room, time, or energy or heads, whatever freaking you want to call it, left for the hobby stuff. And it sucks, but that's kind of where I'm at. I do have some plans. I'm going to be on my own most of this weekend, so that'll be helpful. So maybe I can get back. And I mean, we're so close to getting the All Our Freedom stuff done since Court gave us his 6mm guys to use. He's got the Confederates mostly done. With a little bit of effort and a little bit of time, I can probably finish that up. That's not a promise, but I think I can. We'll see how it goes. But yes, that's where I've been at. I don't even really have anything gaming related to talk about tonight because I haven't done anything. The last thing gaming related we did was the Hobby Bunker Game Day. That was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I don't know about you, but like seeing the stuff right there on your painting bench or on my table, as it were, I think makes it harder. I've been in like a 3-week heavy, very deep depressive state, and just like you said, like you were on a roll and you wanted to get stuff going, you were doing well. And I feel like I was on a roll. I've been working on a lot of terrain and buildings and things like that. And like every night I felt like I was making progress, completing another kit or a part of a kit and just getting it done and pushing content out to social media and everything and getting stuff ready. And then we went to the Hubby Bunker game day and it was wonderful and all that kind of stuff. And then shortly right after that, it was like whack.
Yeah.
With the, you know, the change of the seasons tends to do me in. And I just like, I don't want to do anything. So I was like going to bed at like 7:30 as soon as the kids were in bed, and, or I would just, I'd sit in my chair and I wouldn't move. And I just like, I'd be there. I had no energy to even like get up or to like actually go to bed.
Yeah.
And it was bad. Like it's just, it's been really, really, really bad. But I don't know, like a light switch or something happened. And this past weekend for me, I was like, oh, you know, maybe I can go do some stuff. And all the time before I kept on thinking, oh, I can go in the studio and I can work on, I actually have this house that I'm trying to build. It's a guardhouse by Things from the Basement for the Yamashiro Mountain Fort, which is a feudal Japanese range. And I'm like so close to getting it done. I was like, it's right there. I can go down. I could get it done. But every day I'd be like, I could, but why? What does it matter? It's just there, you know? So like it would mock me almost.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's, I should probably put the stuff away and, then it's sometimes it's even harder because now I got to get it all back out. But yeah, I'm at the same spot. You know, I've got like a base of Union infantry there, the 6mm guys, and they're glued to the base, but they're not, you know, they're not based. They don't have the, like the ground or the flock or anything on the base. And I don't do real elaborate bases. So that would take perhaps 3 minutes to finish. And I just haven't. So yeah, that's kind of where it's like I'll finish up all the garbage that I have to, you know, have done for the day, all the adult stuff, and then I'll sit down to start working on that stuff, and I'm like, you know what, maybe I'll just watch some Dead.
Exactly. I've been it in this is actually, this is something you can do when you're in a hobby slump, I feel. Maybe you can't actually do the things that you have that need to be done, right? Whether it's painting or assembling or whatever. But like, I feel like watching the YouTube videos, at least for me, I was watching a lot of like model railroading videos on how to do terrain and dioramas. And so, I mean, it wasn't completing my project, right? Yeah. But at the same point, I still was kind of tangentially in the hobby space and learning new techniques and things. And so like right now, I'm really into this guy on YouTube. And I've shared some of his videos, I think, on our Facebook page, where he created his own static grass applicator. Hmm. And like, I really want to make one because I think it'd be fantastic. And he uses it for like, you know, whole diorama or a whole like table that he's going to do of model railroading or whatever. But I could see this being perfect just for like your bases. You get a bunch of bases done, maybe a unit or whatever. You put the diluted PVA on the bases. You get this thing out and you're like, and you go and like, there you go, static grass. It stands up perfectly. Because yeah. I don't know about you, but mine never stands up. I'll put it on. I turn the stuff upside down. I'm like, whack, 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 whack. It's nothing. It looks like a horse laid down on it or something. And it's terrible. But yeah. This guy's thing. So like, I would watch YouTube videos about that or like the Little War stuff. I'd be watching like things that other people had done or like you said, just kind of like online and looking at pictures or engaging in conversation if I felt like it or just observing it about people having questions or talking about their gaming. But that's kind of one way you can kind of still stay connected to the hobby, even if you can't act on it or you're not quite ready to act on it. It's kind of like research almost. You're gathering all that and then you can let it simmer in your head. And when your headspace is cleared enough to actually maybe do something with it, it might just be the impetus that you need to get the move on and work on your project.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at it that way. I mean, the go-getters, not just in the hobby world, but in life in general, tell you that, you know, analysis paralysis, they call it, that it's just an excuse to actually not do something. I can't do that yet. I'm figuring out how to do it.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. But yeah, no, I think that isn't a bad way to at least, like you said, if not stay motivated exactly, at least stay connected to the hobby. And I've been doing that too. I've been catching up on the Little War stuff and watching some other, you know, hobby related YouTube videos, mostly, painting how to's, stuff like that. And yeah, you know, it keeps you connected. It hasn't really helped motivate me yet. It's not really a matter of motivation because I really want to get this stuff done because, you know, these two particular games, I'm want to get them going. Just a matter of time and stuff. Just there isn't any. I mean, I suppose I could stay up literally all night, but I
can't. No, you can't do that.
So, but yeah, it's a problem I imagine everybody has at some point. I'm a little disappointed that it happened to happen right now when we were pretty close. But we'll get through it. I mean, actually, the fall is not a bad time for me. It's usually well, not that I ever have a happy time of the year.
Happy for you.
Yeah, less pissed off. I've never been happy, just sometimes. Sometimes I'm less pissed off. That usually happens in the fall. But it's a decent time for me to get stuff like that done. So I'm disappointed, but not super upset about it. So we'll get back on track here. Another way I kind of keep my fingers in or try to get myself back motivated, and I tried this over the weekend. Didn't work, but I tried it. I went back and reread the Altar of Freedom rules just to, you know, kind of remind myself what I'm doing it for. And I went back and flipped through the ESR. I have the 1809, the campaign guide. So flipped through that and looked at the scenarios and everything. It's just, you know, little things like that to try to kind of just like get you going.
Yeah, I think that can really help. Doing it, you know, one time or just infrequently might not be enough for it to stick. I know they say that if you want to change your behavior, you need to make it a habit. And by making it a habit, you have to have almost like a set schedule. It's kind of like if you go into a restaurant and you want them to know you as a regular, you should go around the same time of day or same day of the week or whatever it is and order the same thing. So like if you want them to know how you like your Reuben sandwich, you go every Wednesday at noon and you're the person who goes in at noon on Wednesdays and orders a Reuben sandwich, and they get to connect that. So like with the hobby, even if you can't do it every night, and like you said, staying up all night is not an option, but like even if you can be like, okay, no matter what, Monday nights, that's a night I spend 15 minutes doing something hobby related. Yeah. And 15 minutes might not be a whole lot of time, but when you add it up week after week after week, it's making a difference. And the important thing is it's setting that habit for you. So if you've kind of gotten out of the swing of things, it can allow you to go back into it. And there's a gentleman we know, Ken Eckard, who I think is doing something similar. He's trying to paint every day, and he might only paint for 20 minutes or half an hour, but he's making it a dedication actually for himself, because I think he kind of got away from painting as much as he used to. He used to do a pretty large painting service. And so he's like doing this, I think, for himself to kind of get the painting done and make it that habit to kind of get him back in the groove of doing painting on a larger scale or for more time. But he's starting, you know, small, like half an hour a day or 10 minutes or whatever. Yeah. And you might not get a whole figure done or building or whatever. But even if you can paint like pants, right? You paint four people's pants, you got the pants done.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Or like the smaller scale with Altar of Freedom or with the ESR, you might actually be able to get a few guys done.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, in 20 minutes or half an hour, you could have one base of figures done for the 6mm of the Civil War guys. Yeah. And I did try that to commit to, you know, painting at least 15, 20 minutes a day, every day. And that just, it wasn't actually sustainable for me, unfortunately. But I should at least try. I should, and maybe I'll set a goal. Maybe I'll even write the goal down. You're supposed to write your goals down.
Yeah, positive affirmation. It reinforces it, right?
Yeah, all that crap. But maybe just, you know, 2 days a week I'll do some kind of painting and not commit to a time period, but 2 days a week I'll do something, or 3 days, something like that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, because maybe one day you have an hour, you do an hour. Another day you have 5 minutes. It still counts.
But anyway.
No, I think that's so a good thing.
So far, none of my little motivational techniques have been working. But like I say, it's not really a matter of motivation. It's more a matter of time and being old and fat and worn out at the end of a, you know, 12-hour day.
We do not body shame here. We are an all-inclusive.
You don't. I do.
Friendly space. We are a safe space, a brave space, as the new term is, where people of all walks of life, of all species, of all whatever, are welcome to be part of our community here. And we don't make anyone feel unwelcome.
I don't remember you clearing that with me, but all right, if that's the way you want to roll.
As a big boned, that's a phrase I'd never like to use, but as a larger person, I don't see how that comes into it. I mean, like, yeah, you get tired more easily from going around and stuff.
Yeah, but, no, I know what you mean. I don't know.
You're just insulting yourself, dude. I don't know, because I'll tell you, one of the things that actually worked for me this time was repeated exposure. So if you listen to a lot of podcasts or TV or whatever, you might notice with advertisers that one thing that happens is whatever the key thing that they want you to do, they mention it at least three times.
Yeah.
So if you want a podcast that has is advertising, I don't know, advertising huzzah. Huzzah convention will be mentioned three times.
Right.
It'll be near the beginning, like in an intro ad. Maybe the host might say somewhere during the show about how much they love Huzzah, how it's taking place in Portland, South Portland, across from the main mall at the Doubletree Inn, and how it's a beautiful space up there, and there's great food in Portland at the Doubletree for Huzzah. And maybe they'll mention it again at the end. And so because it's been mentioned at least three times, it sticks with you. One time, people forget. Two times, it's like so-so. Three times is a thing. So if you expose anyone to something with that, at least that kind of repetition, it'll stick. So for me, a thing that had been keeping me kind of going up until I hit the wall was working on the feudal Japanese buildings for Things from the Basement, because I love feudal Japan. It's a passion of mine, and for whatever reason, just like I'm really drawn to the MDF kits. And are you and I ever going to play feudal Japanese stuff? Probably not, right?
Not unless you paint it.
Exactly. And like, we're not going to be collecting vast armies of whatever or doing stuff. And yet, as much as it doesn't make any sense for me to be spending time and effort on it, is something I enjoy. But because also, like, I hit that wall where I was like, oh, I can't do it because why bother? It's still there. I thought, well, let me expose myself to some feudal Japanese inspirations. So I started watching Kurosawa films. So I bought on Amazon Kagemusha, which is a great film. For anyone who doesn't know, it's considered to be one of the most historically correct films that Kurosawa ever did, set in the Sengoku period. And it talks about Shingen Takeda and how he had a body double, basically. And in the movie, he dies, which happened in real life. Sorry to spoil that for you. And the body double kind of has to stand in for him. But it has these great battle scenes, and you get really good views of the castles and the buildings, which is why I wanted to see it. Because since it's in color, and one of the few he did in color, I thought, oh, this could inspire me to work on color schemes for the kits. And right now, Things from the Basement doesn't really have any like stone castles. They're doing other stuff right now. And a lot of the stuff that you see are the stone castles, right? And that's what people think of. Himeji Castle, for example, is probably one of the most well-known. I think it's a UNESCO site. But like, I was like, even just seeing that, maybe that would light a little fire in me. And so like one day I watched 20 minutes, didn't do anything. Another day I watched like 15, still didn't do anything. And I spent like a week and a half just getting through this one movie. But by the end of it, I was like, you know, maybe I will. And I didn't, but it was 2 days after where I was like, I'm going to go do it. No, I'm not. I'm going to bed. And as I'm getting ready to go to bed, well, maybe I should just go look at the stuff. And then I started working on things. And so like for me doing that, it mattered. And did I three times work for me? No, I had to do more than three, but at least three, like just kind of repeatedly getting myself exposed to that, I made a difference for me. And I think it can help for other people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's worth a try anyway. Maybe I could go and watch Gettysburg again. I haven't seen that in a while. Well, that's not true. I watched it from in July, but
that's still been a while ago. And you get so many great ones. You could put Glory in. You said Gettysburg.
Yeah. Glory wasn't bad. Gods and Generals, but that one's terrible.
Terrible, but still might work.
Yeah.
North and South, great miniseries.
Oh, yeah. That's so oldie and long forgotten by me, but yeah, possibly.
Really good. And
actually, I think Ken Burns' Civil War, I think, is on Netflix. Netflix, I think.
I think it's Netflix.
I think Netflix. Yeah. That might be worth trying.
I mean, we're PBS members, so I think we have it on there too, but yeah, that's a great series.
Yeah. But yeah, all things worth trying, definitely.
In like I think people tend to kind of get in these slumps after they have that really big high. Yeah. So like you've accomplished something major, you've finished your army, or like I think in your case, in my case, like you're busy. But like I think contributing to that, I think a big high for us also was the Hobby Bunker Game Day, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a normal thing for any kind of like project or whatever. So like working on, I don't know, like coding stuff for me, it's like you get involved in or starting a new project, whatever the app or whatever happens to be. And it's like, you're all fired up at first and it's like, it's cool, it's new. And that lasts until it gets to the slog portion, which usually doesn't take all that long. And it's like, oh yeah, this sucks. I remember now. So, so yeah, it's almost like I wish I could like hire somebody to do the, I'll come up with the ideas and do the initial fun work and then somebody else can do the rest of it. That's kind of where I'm at now, I guess, with these two projects.
Yeah, they do the grunt work. I find like even once you get through that, as awful as that kind of feels, because you're like, oh, I don't want to do this. This is just like, oh, look, I got to paint another unit's worth of pikes or whatever, right? But when you're done and you see everything that you've done, you're like, yeah, I did that. And it's amazing. And you get really pumped up. Kind of like near the big battle, right before the big battle of Braveheart. You're like, yeah, this is amazing. And then for me, like in the days after, it's like watching Schindler's List. And you're just at the lowest of the low. You're so depressed by all the stuff that you've seen. Because you had that plateau before, right? Which was amazing. And you can't go anywhere but down. And yeah. You can't sustain that. So you go down and you have that big letdown. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to do any hobby stuff because like I did that. And like that, I had that happen when I did Breach Storm. I did the Breach Storm stuff. I was like, yes, I got Breach Storm armies done. Go me. Yeah. And I was so excited. And then I was like, oh, I got Breach Storm armies done. Now what?
Yeah, I just, I don't know. I need to manage the workload a little bit better, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. The thing is, it's like your hobby, right? So you don't want to look at it or treat it as workload. And that's kind of the problem. And I've talked about this a bazillion times on the show. I'm sure people are sick of hearing about it. I love playing these games, whatever they, you know, whatever particular rule set it is. You know, I've got my favorites, obviously, but it doesn't really matter to me. I just love playing these games. I friggin' hate, despise the modeling portion of it. So unfortunately for me, it is, that part of it is a job. So that's part of my trouble. And I've been trying to come up with ways to make it feel less like work. And that's one of the things that drew me to the, you know, this, we've talked about that too, that drew me to the 6 and 10 millimeter scales, because they paint fast. I mean, they really do. There's literally no excuse to not sit down in the chair every night, every afternoon, as soon as I get home from work. If I sat down and spent half an hour just slopping paint on the little guys, that would be a unit every day. And I was doing that for quite a long time, but I just have to get back into it. That's what, probably the 50th time I've said that in the 20 minutes we've been talking already.
Well, see, like when you're doing it, it's your habit, right? But then as soon as you break it, for whatever reason, no matter how valid, no matter how completely acceptable and appropriate it is to break that habit, it's so hard to get back into the habit. So like for me, when I had that eureka moment a few days after finishing Kakamusha, where it was like it was a Friday, I think, and I came down, and in my mind it was like, you know, I'm not coming down to the studio because like, why bother? Like I'm just starting to feel maybe a little more like me, and like it's late and I'm tired, and if I go down, I'll be up really, really late, and I don't want to be up really late because then I'll sleep in super late and we have a busy day, and I was making all these excuses, right? And yet as soon as I walked down the stairs and came in, turned the lights on, and I looked at stuff, I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh. and like I got a smile on. Well, maybe I'll just sit and look and see how it is. Well, you know, it just needs a little paint. And then I got sucked right back in. And it's because I kind of kept on repeatedly introducing stuff. And one of the things I like to do is I love to shop. Although I don't like to be at places shopping. But like I was going online and kind of researching paints and things that I needed to buy. Well, I say need, right? But like that I desired, I guess, is more appropriate. And so I was starting to engage with people on social media, and I realized if I wanted to do more work on any of the stuff that I have, basing's a thing I need to do. And I have all these tufts that I need to put on, but like I use my hands, and my fingers are fat, chubby fingers, and like this small. So like I try to get in, but like it doesn't work well. So it suggested that I should get some tweezers. So I started looking online at tweezers. And then I ordered a gigantic set of tweezers, every shape and size you can imagine. I guess people use these for beauty care, facial care, or whatever. Oh. But I was like, let's get ones that are like really small or angular so I can get in the nooks and crannies and just kind of push it in. And then I was like, well, you know, I'm getting low on some of my inks. And sure enough, the ones I have are GW inks, and they don't make them anymore. So I was like, well, what's the closest? So I did research on that. So that was kind of neat. And then I went ahead and I bought some Army Painter ones. Hmm. So Strong Tone and Dark Tone are supposed to be the closest to Citadel Bada Black And is it Deneb Stone or I don't know. There's some mud one. Oh, Devlin Mud or I don't know. Something like that. And so I was like, oh, you know, I'll get those. And when they come, maybe I'll start using those. And that kind of just kept me going. And then I actually started doing the stuff, which actually kind of leads into a new thing that we should talk about here on the show. But before we do you ever do that kind of shopping thing or making shopping lists or window shopping as a way to kind of like stay connected or anything?
I do. And it's a horrible thing for me because what usually happens is I'll find a new interesting project that I kind of might want to start working on. And then I'll order, you know, it's like you get into this, really won't do any harm if I just order one, you know, one box of figures and just paint those up and see how it goes. And then I have another box of, you know, 20, 30 figures, which are primed, and maybe six or seven of them are painted. And that's as far as that's ever going to go. So yes, I do that. And it's something I need to get away from.
Well, and you know, I think that's how a lot of people end up with their lead mountains, because you get the stuff and you think, oh, this will be great. So I really wanted to make sure that I kind of held myself back a little bit, where if I was going to buy anything, it was going to be stuff that would solve a problem I felt I had with a current or near future product, a project. So for example, like the Tufts that I have, I could put them in with my fingers, right? And it might not look great, but I could do. But I was like, the tweezers, they will always work for that. Yeah. I don't ever have to do anything to these tweezers. It's complete. It's finished. They are a tool for me to use with that other stuff. With the inks that I got from Army Painter, I was like, do you know these washes? They will help me do other stuff. So I purposely stayed clear of minis mostly, except I decided it would be a lot of fun to buy bunny miniatures because I love rabbits.
Yeah, saw that.
And so they haven't come yet, but had to head on over and get some from Bad Squiddo Games. They get really cute bunnies there, I gotta say, just like really adorable. So but then I was looking at all the other stuff. I was like, oh, those cats are cute, and they got dogs, and they got all sorts of stuff, and oh look, they have samurai things, and like, but like I purposely didn't buy any of that stuff because I knew rabbit hole, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
I try to like just be like, no, gird yourself and just get what you really need. And maybe that's just a good mantra in general in life. Do you need it now?
It is. But the thing is, when you're doing that thing to try to motivate yourself, it goes back to what we were talking about before. It's like you latch on to some kind of a new project, whatever it is, you know. It's like, say, oh, just to pick something off the top of my head, 28 millimeter 7 years of war. And it's like you get that first box of figures, right? And you paint them up and it's like, yeah, this is all right. I'm motivated again. And then the second box comes and now you're in that drudgery part and you're not anymore, because then you make the mistake of going back and looking at how many of these freaking things you're actually going to need to paint before you can possibly put anything on the table. And then you're like, yeah, it's kind of like the programming thing. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. This sucks. I remember now. So
that's why I really like, and why I've been in the groove on doing MDF kits. And that's actually a new segment we're introducing now here on the show. I don't know what you want to call it, Adrian. MDF corner or buildings. I don't know. We have to come up with a good name for it. What do you think's a good name?
I don't know. I think it's a good idea to not come up with these things spur of the moment, though. Perhaps we should have given this some thought before the show. That's not really our way.
But no, maybe what we should do is we should run a poll on our social media and let our listeners pick the appropriate name for our new MDF segment.
All right.
Power to the people, right? That's what democracy is about.
Yeah, you can't trust the people, though. But yeah, we can do a poll. Why not?
Yeah, so we'll run a poll on our social media. Be sure to check us out online. We'll try to put it on Twitter, but it'll be on Facebook. We're on all the things as Wargaming Recon. And this, whatever you want to call it, but this MDF segment is going to be a recurring thing. It's brought to all of you by Things from the Basement. So kind thanks to York Bender of Things from the Basement for making this segment possible. And today we should talk about a kit that both brought me to the high of being like, yes, I'm doing stuff, and also brought me back in after I had that really big low and just didn't have any hobby mojo going on. And that is the one and only guardhouse for the Yarmouchero Mountain Fort.
Yeah.
And this is a beautiful little kit, really easy to assemble, not a ton of steps. And One of the things that I love about it is it has a removable roof, so you can really get in there for putting your miniatures. So when you play, you can just kind of get stuff and move things around. It's detailed inside, but not overly detailed. You know, like sometimes you get a kit and they just spend so much time really putting all this detail in there, and you think, why? Because no one's ever really going to see it, and they charge like an extra $30 for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've seen them. I know I have, but I think you've seen the same ones, Adrian, where they're like, let's look at all this extra stuff. And it's cool, but it's like, why?
Yeah, it's awesome. But yeah, you're right. It's like most of the time the roof is going to be on. So it's, I won't say it's pointless, but yeah, I get it. Why put all that effort into it? Why put all that effort into it?
No, however you were saying?
Well, I was just going to say there are some games that that call for the detailed interiors, and I'm thinking in particular of certain Wild West games where, you know, you do the gunfight in the bar kind of thing, like all the little interior pieces. Some of the rule sets, those little interior pieces matter.
Yeah. Well, like in that case, I think it's okay.
Yeah.
But like if you're just doing a regular war game or whatever, you probably don't need it.
Yeah.
This went together pretty quickly. And one of the neat things about it is you actually start building it upside down because it has support structures that go into place that kind of frame the bottom. Because if you think about it, feudal Japanese houses were elevated usually from the ground because they're made out of wood, and they would have rotted a lot quicker if they were just in the dirt and the mud. And so they wanted them to last. And if it's a guardhouse, you're out in a mountain fort somewhere, it's not like you're just going to be able to like be like, hold on a second, I'm going to go down the mountain and get some more words and rebuild our guardhouse. You probably can't just go running off to do that. So like it was neat that it had that. This has a nice change between wood paneling that's going on for the planks, and also some just plastering kind of stuff at a higher elevation, a cool back porch. So you can actually place miniatures there. You can't get into the building from that way, but that's there in a front porch with some nice poles and columns going on, roofs on that. And then the roof itself actually has a fair bit of detail too. So you actually have a framework for the roof, and then you have two end pieces that go on. And I'm sure anyone who's an architect or knows more about architecture knows what these are called. Are they hips or gables? I can't recall. But you have those, and then you just put the roof pieces on, and they're pretty simple and straightforward to do. But it's a joy to paint, easy to assemble. All I have to do is seal it, but I had a lot of fun painting it and assembling it. I will say you need to make sure you have rubber bands. Not everyone uses rubber bands to secure their things, but like I would glue stuff and then leave it overnight for it to go. And when all is said and done, I mean, this is a 28 millimeter kit, yeah. But I think like I did a really minimalistic paint scheme on it, and I tried to match what the official one is on Things from the Basement. So a lot of it's brown, but you know, I inked it, I dry brushed it, and I used like some yellows or yellow oranges on like the plastery kind of parts. But I think it gives you a decent effect.
Yeah.
And I don't know. They make really good kits. So like that's done. And then I started on another one because on Facebook a while ago, before I had my slump, we had asked people to pick what the next MDF project would be, either to finish the Czech hedgehogs, because I still have like 30 more of those, or to work on the walls for the Yamashiro Mountain Fort, and people chose the walls. So last night I started working on them, and you had mentioned about, you know, just kind of going in and painting stuff as soon as you got home. I did that with this because I didn't actually have to pick up the kids right after work. My dad had them and dropped them off, so I started building wall segments, and they have nice little slots in them so like your troops can see out. They're very simple. You have the framing and then the wall section for short walls, and then double wall is basically the same. I had some kind of confusion because the instructions at the time, the pictures didn't quite match what I had, but Yorgs fixed that. And so it's great. And I think the whole kit's going to go together really well. It's a modular thing, and this corner pieces, and then you have your long wall, straight walls and short straight walls, and they just kind of go together. And I think this will paint up pretty quickly too.
Cool.
But doing all sorts of MDF stuff here. And I know a lot of people like working in MDF, and some people are afraid, I think, of it. I know in the beginning, you're actually the one who kind of started talking to me about MDF, and I was like, nah, I don't want to do MDF because, like, I don't know. I don't know why I didn't like it, because you didn't like it, I think.
Well, the thing is, it's not MDF generally. It is some of the foreground kits specifically, which are very complex to put together. Not all of them, but some of the ones I tried to put together were, like, really complex. It's like you got the inside and the outside of the wall, and they're amazing when they're done. I'm not super interested in trying to put any more of them together. However, not all MDF kits are like that. I mean, the stuff that Jorg offers, Sarissa Precision, their stuff that I've done is relatively simple to assemble, and it takes paint well and whatnot. That's the other thing about Jorg's stuff that I've put together, and I've only put together the little scatter train, which the, as you call it, it's not MDF, HDF. That takes paint really well. I love that stuff. But yeah, not all MDF kits are created equal. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess. I'm kind of in the minority, I guess, on the foreground stuff. People love that and they say it's not that hard to put together. I disagree, but that's just me.
Well, because of the experience you had with foreground, I kind of stayed away from them. And for a long time, I wasn't interested in MDF until I started talking to Jorg and seeing some of his stuff. And he sent some stuff ages ago. What is this, like 3 years ago, maybe longer, for us to cover on the show. And so when I started building them, I was afraid, I guess. I was like, oh, I don't know what to do, and I'm going to mess it up, because like you hear all these things about MDF where it's going to eat all the paint. So you're going to go through so much paint unless you spray it.
Yeah. Or, I've actually never had that happen with any MDF
where but like people say it, don't they?
They do, but I haven't assembled a ton of MDF stuff, but I've never had that happen.
I mean, I haven't done as much as like say Iron Hammer Studio or anything, but I've had no problem because like I talked to Jorg about it and I said, oh, you know, how do you paint this thing and how do you glue it? So like I was using super glue. He said, don't do that. Give yourself more time. Use white glue. Okay. So I use white glue now and that's cheaper. And I've been doing that for ages and the painting's not a problem. I just use a regular spray primer. And if I paint on anything by hand, it does dry relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say it's like eating the paint. You don't go through tons and tons of paint. It's not absorbing at all. So I don't feel the need to like seal it in advance before doing whatever. So I do prime it, but like, I don't think you need to. And Jorg doesn't. And a lot of people don't. They just start putting the paint right on. And I've never had trouble with it. And so I think there's a lot of myths about it that kind of have taken hold, and they're not true necessarily, at least not for the stuff I've been working on.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's like I've never had that experience with it. But then again, I never had a miniature frost until a couple of months ago. So, you know, I always thought that was a myth. It's not.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the testers dull coat, but that was just crazy.
I don't know. It made me mad. And I couldn't believe it. I was like, huh, okay, I guess it is a real thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm looking forward to doing more MDF kits, though, and it's really where my headspace is right now.
Yeah.
I will say I've become interested in foreground because they have an agreement with Things from the Basement and they're making color version or pre-painted versions or whatever you want to call them of his pieces. Yeah. And so I've been working with their head honcho try to get some stuff sent to us. And they say they're going to send us the whole lineup of their versions of Things from the Basement stuff. So I don't know when that's happening or anything, but it's in the works. And so we'll see how it goes. But like they've done everything from his Frostgrave stuff for the, what is it? Lost Continent? Is that what they call it? The New World stuff?
Yeah. Is that like the jungle area?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Not a big Frostgrave guy, but yeah, I think that's what it's called.
But like it'd be great for Mayans or any New World kind of stuff, Incans or whatever. So they have that. They're doing all his Russian village stuff. They're doing his feudal Japanese stuff. Not everything's out on the feudal Japanese, but they're working through it. And now they started doing his medieval village stuff that just got kickstarted last fall. Was it last spring? Last spring, actually.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it was out by June and we had it in May. So yeah, but that's.
Yeah, you should. I don't know. You should just get a foreground kit and assemble it and try it. I've actually got one. I've got one. Next time I see you, I'll give it to you, and you can assemble that, see what you think.
Yeah, work on it.
And it's one of their easier ones. It's a ruined farmhouse. Yeah, I'll give that to you. You can put it together, see what you think.
And that sounds good.
You may tell me I'm completely wrong, and I'm perfectly willing to admit that I probably am.
Well, I don't know that you're probably wrong, but maybe just where you were in your mindset.
Well, I find some of the stuff is like, man, I really want to build that. And it's like, I know if I buy it, it's just going to be a source of foul language and screaming. some of the Western stuff in particular is just magnificent stuff. But yeah, just too much, too fiddly for me.
That's okay. I mean, There's different things for different people. One of the things I've been told by others is that the things from the basement kits go together really easily. And I got to say that even I have been able to put the stuff together with minimal fuss.
Oh, yeah.
And like I've broken very few things. So I feel good about that. And I've actually suggested that for any of their customers who want stuff battle damaged, they should send it to me and I'll battle damage it for them and then send it on its way.
Yeah, no kidding. Got any carts that need wheels broken off of?
I'm really good at it.
That was like high drama, that whole cartwheel thing. And it's like, God, what's wrong with you?
It was there, and I don't know how the heck it came off, but it did. I don't know. It's mostly fixed now, and that's that. And so I don't know.
Yeah, I've got a few things that I grabbed at Huzzah sitting that I should probably throw together pretty quick. Wow, what did I even get? I don't remember. I got I think a couple of the hand carts, and did I get the beer wagon? I may have gotten the beer wagon. I don't remember.
I think so.
Again, like scatter terrain type stuff. I love that stuff.
Well, I think that's his strong point. Like, he makes these bigger buildings and things that are gorgeous.
Yeah.
But I really think the small stuff is where he excels, because most people don't do that. And if they do, they don't do it well. And his are very well made.
They are. You're starting to see a lot more of the scatter terrain type stuff with, you know, 3D printing kind of taken off. But I still sort of prefer the look of the MDF. And I think you can almost, I mean, I don't know, because I don't really know anything about the model making aspect of it. I think you can probably do more the MDF, HDF, whatever it is you're doing, than with 3D print, at least right now.
I think, but you must be right.
I do like the scatter terrain. I love seeing tables with lots of, like, you know, just diorama type stuff on.
Well, that's one of the reasons why I picked up, what do I have, 100, 150 Czech hedgehogs?
Yeah.
Am I going to need 100, 150 Czech hedgehogs?
No.
But who else has 100 of them, right? No one. Because why would you?
Right.
Just sitting in your game. So they're there. If we ever need a few extra, you just throw them on the table. Whatever. There they go.
Now you've got something that no one else in the entire world probably has. 100 Czech hedgehogs.
Yeah, there you go. Special. I can store them right next to the piece of rope that was used to hang Prime Minister Chojo.
Yeah.
Because that's not morbid at all. But it's,
nah.
It's real. It's authentic. Because why not?
Oh, my word.
But that's all the MDF stuff going on. What other things do you like to do if you're in kind of a hobby slump to try to kind of get out of it?
We've pretty much talked about everything that I've sort of tried and hasn't worked. So if anybody has any ideas, speak up. Let me know.
Yeah.
Mostly what it would involve is me finding more time, at least right at the moment. That would help tremendously. Anyone's going to be able to help with that?
Maybe not. But I mean, there might be ways. You mentioned hiring someone for stuff. Just for things that you don't like to do as much, that maybe you can kind of shop out.
I've more than casually thought about sending some of the figures off and have them painted, but that just seems, I don't know. We'll see. I'll think some more about that.
It may not be an easy decision, but we know people who do it and who do it well at reasonable rates.
Yeah, we do. So we'll see how that goes.
I just want to mention that people might want to look at an article written by friend of the show, Tony Rieger, who actually tackled this topic and was paid to write an article about it, which I think is pretty incredible, about things that he does when he's kind of feeling he doesn't have the magic anymore for hobbying. Yeah. And I don't know about you, Adrian, but he's a fellow who, at least for me, like, that I feel embodies it, that he must just exude hobby mojo all the time, right? Because he's doing so much and it's always amazing looking and it's just wonderful and it's like museum quality stuff.
Yeah.
And to think that, like, whoa, even he, like, because like you said, everyone has this happen, right? But like, even he, so what does he do to kind of sustain that going on? So he has that. And is that War Games Illustrated he did, or was it War Game? I think it was War Games Illustrated, right?
I think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
So people can check out the article that he wrote in there. And like, if it works for someone like Tony, it probably can work for you, Adrian, and me and everyone else. And the thing is, like, you talk to 10 different people on what the solution is for this, you're going to get 20 different answers.
Well, yeah.
And some won't work, but some might, or they might work now. And maybe that's all that you need. What works now for you to help you get through this?
Yep.
Then I know some people say either reading magazine articles or listening to podcasts like William Recon, that's how they kind of sustain themselves to keep going on when they have that project and they're slogging through and they don't want to get through all that grunt work of things. They'll put this on and listen, you and I talk, people really like our dynamic or any of the other, I mean, there's so many great Wargaming podcasts out there. Listen to any of them and just kind of see what's going on. And it makes you feel like there's someone else in the room with you. So yeah. Because Wargaming, like the hobby stuff, right? It's kind of solitary, don't you think?
A lot of it is, yeah. You wouldn't think it is, but a lot of it definitely is.
Some people will try to have like painting nights where they get together and they paint and stuff. But like for me, I need to focus on what I'm doing. So I'm probably not going to be chatty with anyone.
Yeah, that's the thing for me too. I've not lately, but I have in the past taken things down. You've mentioned doing it before, taking stuff down to like Battleground and just working. And that doesn't work for me at all because it's not a painting and assembly night. It's a shoot the breeze night is all it turns into.
Yeah, you goof off.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it works for some people. You see people down there painting all the time, which that's, you know, great. But here again, they're not doing it in groups. It's one guy at a table in the corner painting his 40K stuff usually.
Exactly. So, like, if you're doing it at home and you want to feel like there's someone else in the room, I totally get why people would listen to a podcast or radio or, you know, whatever. So you have that, especially if it's topical to what you're doing on. So whether it, maybe it's a historical thing about American Revolution or Napoleonics, if you're doing ESR, that way you kind of have that to help ground you and keep you going and you feel like you're not alone. Because I think that isolation just kind of makes it worse for people.
Yeah.
And not everyone has like a you to be like, hey, Adrian, this is what I'm working on. What do you think?
Yeah. And I encourage you and bolster your spirits and, you know, pats on the head, all the stuff that I'm really good at.
Yeah. The chakras are just aligned right. And for the lunar calendar or whatever that is.
Oh my gosh.
It does its magic. That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Well, I think those are just some of the many, many ways that people can really kind of keep themselves going. Or if you're in that, like, oh man, I don't want to do any hobby and I don't want to do any gaming. You can kind of brick yourself out of it. And you might be in that slump for a while, but eventually you come out of it. You really do.
Eventually. The last time I was in a serious slump, it was before we started these two projects, and that was 6 or 7 months. It was a long time. So that has to not happen this time. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing from people, you know, the Facebook groups or I hate to say Twitter, but Twitter. If anybody has any things they do to try and relight the fires, I wouldn't mind hearing about it.
Well, I think you should put a thing up on Facebook and ask for people to comment back. And you should also tweet out on AbeBenson229 and ask people for their thoughts and see what you get. And then on a future episode of the show, let people know.
Seems like an awful lot of effort. Could you do that?
But see, I think that's something you could do from your phone. You could just go tap a tap a tap a tap a tap a, and you could do it right now.
I could do it right now. I will perhaps do that because I mean... snark and whatnot aside, I really wouldn't mind hearing what people do. So yeah, maybe we'll do that.
See, you can do that and I'll get that poll out on our stuff to find out what we should call that MDF segment that we had done.
Yeah.
Because just calling it MDF segment is kind of boring.
No, I did kind of like MDF corner, so that should be in the poll, but yeah.
That was the first thing in my mind. I was like, is that too? Like everything's a corner.
Everything right? is a corner. Yeah, that's true. But I kind of like the fact that it was like a building. I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Everything's a corner, a bench, or a table.
Yeah.
Like a round table or a whatever. I don't know.
Anyway, that's up to you. You definitely have to do that and come up with some poll options. Is there a way to? There should be a way to let people like free text in their own thoughts. Yeah. So.
Because TotalCon has a poll up right now. They want to show Saturday morning cartoon kind of stuff during the con.
Yeah, I can't see why anyone has picked anything other than Scooby-Doo. That makes me angry.
I clicked on quite a few, and I even submitted some that they didn't have, which is my whole point of mentioning it, because however they did it, you can have them submit. You think Scooby-Doo is the only thing they need to show?
I think they better show Scooby-Doo. I mean, some of the other stuff on there is like, I know they're geek/nerd classics like Thundercats, which I always hated.
Oh, I love Thundercats.
He-Man, which I didn't hate, but it wasn't awesome.
Skeletor is pretty amazing.
I don't know about amazing, but
because he's so whiny, he's a loser, but there he is. And I think the guy who did his voice is the same one who did Cobra Commander from G.I. Joe.
Oh.
A little trivia for you.
Definitely trivia. See, that's why you won Cube of Death.
There you go. And Voltron would be a nice option.
Mm, yeah.
And then to be all inclusive, you need to have Care Bears, I think, as well.
I don't think you need to have Care Bears.
My Little Pony must have been around, and Strawberry Shortcake and Rainbow Bright or whatever that stuff is. Yeah. You have to appeal to a wider audience.
Yeah, I forget what was at the top of the poll the last time I checked it, but I know it wasn't Scooby-Doo.
Was it D&D?
It was. It was D&D. You're right. Which is really funny. Barely remember. I remember it being terrible. But
so I've come to the D&D cartoon late, right? Maybe as of 8 years ago. Uh-huh. And I've watched the whole thing, and I'm like, okay, it's not great.
It's terrible, John. It's literally terrible.
Like, well, it bears no resemblance to the game. Well, in any way, shape, or form. Like, it's a name, and that's it. But it's really funny because I've recently found out that Gary Gygax's son, who's named after him, Ernie, was one of the creative forces behind it. Yeah. And he's really proud of the cartoon, apparently. And there's this whole resurgence around the cartoon. And I don't know if they're going to bring it back or do something with the cartoon. Or I don't exactly know what they're doing with it. But there's this whole movement right now with the cartoon. And people are almost kind of like canonizing it. And it's funny because like I remember enjoying it, but not saying it was any wonderful thing, but just like, oh, look, it's something to have on in the background. It's kind of fun and tangentially related to something I might like. But to see people be like, oh, this is the best thing ever, kind of feels a little weird to me.
It is not the best thing ever.
So what I'm hearing is you would want Care Bears or Teddy Ruxpin over the D&D cartoon.
No, I don't think that's true. Oh, you know what else? Oh, I got to go and write it in. I can't believe I didn't. It might already be on there. Star Trek, the animated series.
It is there.
It is? Okay.
I did not vote for it, but it's there. Oh, and Inspector Gadget has to go on.
Oh, yeah. Inspector Gadget's pretty cool.
That's a good one. And there was another one. Oh, and they want to do commercials. So I suggested the Life commercial. He likes it. He really likes it. Hey, Mikey. Because, I don't know, that's the only thing I think of from back then.
Yeah, man. Do they even make Life cereal anymore? I don't know.
I don't
know.
They
must. They must.
Well, and then that famous Folgers commercial. Is that from back then, from the Saturday morning cartoons? And it shows like the people waking up?
Yeah.
It goes through the whole thing. Best part
of waking up
is Folgers in your cup. And then the Orville Redenbacher guy.
Well, that's the guy, Orville Redenbacher.
No, but isn't that also the name of the popcorn?
Yeah.
So like with him being there, like holding the popcorn thing and be like, hello, Pepperidge Farm, remember? Like, not really, but... I can't remember if that was on Saturday morning, but I'll tell you, and I think they aired them during Saturday morning cartoon blocks for the Gen Xers, were the cartoons for the Star Wars action figures. And I remember those being really iconic. And then the My Buddy commercials, too, I think. I think those are pretty big. I don't know what they'll do, but people should vote in that poll, too. TotalCon discussion group over on Facebook.
People should vote for Scooby-Doo in that poll, as you do. And the Star Trek series too. Now, I said that D&D cartoon was terrible. So is the Star Trek cartoon, but it's an entertaining kind of terrible.
Okay. They were licensing anything, weren't they?
Anything they could get their hands on, yeah.
Oh my goodness, that's too funny. That just sounds awful. But hey, you never know what could come up and win. And I think they want people to vote for one thing per decade, right?
I think it was something like that. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, so many options.
Anyway, it's on their Facebook page, so you should definitely go and check it out, especially if you plan on going.
Well, where do you come down on Scrappy-Doo?
Thumbs down, two thumbs down.
Okay, because he's very divisive.
Yeah, not to me. He's just terrible. That was a, I don't know if I would call it a jump the shark kind of a thing, but it's like, what are you doing? Scrappy-Doo.
It's a Cousin Oliver moment.
Ooh, another one I thought of. The Harlem Globetrotters card.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they should have that too.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, and you ever see the Inhumanoids?
No, I don't think so.
So there were these weird like kaiju type monsters that came out of the ground or something, and then their four chosen people had to beat them into submission or whatever. So they had these weird like mech costume kind of things that they had to get into and like beat them. So it's kind of a combination of like giant robot versus gigantic monster, but also like some of the robot costumes that they had were pseudo living. So it's just like, it was this weird thing, but bad, but interesting at the same time. Huh. Very like Hollywood B movie kind of thing.
Yeah. man.
It's crazy stuff.
Oh, it's not a cartoon, so it wouldn't qualify. But did you ever see, I loved this when I was a kid, but the Johnny Sacco and his flying robot?
No.
Oh, that's got to be on YouTube. Go check that out.
I should check that out. And what's the other one that I'm thinking of? Thunderbirds.
Yeah.
Were they Saturday morning thing?
Wow, were they? I seem to remember watching them in the afternoon. Not sure.
See, that's slightly before my time, so I can't recall. But I know that's popular with people.
Yeah, no options. Yeah, Thunderbirds was awesome.
So why is it you and I having so much of an easier time picking what cartoons Total Con should pick than coming up with names for for our MDF segment or ways for you to come out of your slump?
I don't know.
What does that say about us?
Well, the cartoon thing, though, is just recall. All you got to do is remember something. That's easy.
That's true.
You don't have to create anything. You just got to remember something.
It's more passive, isn't it?
Yeah.
So. But we should be used to this because we are creators. We're content creators.
Are we? Are we really?
We are. Hey, you did that video, which people love, about the Hobby Bunker Game Day.
Which still boggles my mind, but I'm glad they liked it.
They head over heels. The response is through the roof. People just love it. Great video footage of it. Great voiceover. The place looks amazing. People really dug it.
The place is amazing.
Has done well on YouTube, has done well on Facebook. And we're also have stuff being going out through the War Games website. And it's got a good response on there too. People love your video. They want more of them.
All right.
So, well, hey, you can't say you've done nothing gaming related except that going to that event because you made the video.
Right, but that was because of the event. But okay, yeah, we can count that, I suppose.
Of course we count that, because not only did you shoot the video and you had the whole idea for what you wanted to do with it, but then you actually had to edit it, you had to do all that stuff. So is it gaming? No, but it's gaming related. So it serves to inspire other people who might be in their hobby slumps.
Maybe, hopefully.
That's what you've done. There you go. Kudos. I applaud.
Hurrah. I accept your kudos. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, you take any and everything is what I've learned. When you're just not feeling it, you got to shake yourself out of it. You take whatever comes your way, and then you're like, yeah. And then you go. And next thing you know, you've finished painting a house.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Made of MDF, which we will cover in a segment to be named later.
Yes. Which the power is in your hands. Like, oh, what was that one? Remember there was another Saturday morning? This was probably more my childhood. It was Ring Raiders.
Ring Raiders, no.
So you wore these little rings, and they had planes that flew on, and there was cartoons, and there were good guys and bad guys, of course. And so, like, the whole idea was you'd have them on your hands, right? So as you're playing, because you know, like, how kids have the planes, so they're like, woo-hoo, look at that.
Yeah.
So they'd be on your hands, so, like, your hand would go through the whole motion.
Oh, okay.
And it'd be like, the power is in your hand.
Yeah, I do remember those. I do remember those.
I think they're called Ring Raiders. So, like Ring Raiders, the power is in your hands to choose what the title will be for our MDF segment, which will be recurring. Both title and segment.
Yeah, wouldn't do to change the title every time.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want that responsibility, but some people would like to see what keeps you on your toes. It's kind of like, you know how some shows, they change the intro for a TV show, so it's always different. Like The Simpsons did it for a while.
Yeah.
So you'd watch to see, like, what happens in the intro, and then they realized there was too much to do for every single week, so they kind of stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not doing that. Unless someone wants to volunteer their time to do it, but I'm not doing that. We're going
to
create.
Sometimes it's all we can do to get the show out. So yeah,
we're going to create the content for all of you, and you can come up with the names for that kind of stuff. I look forward to seeing what people come up with.
Yeah,
cool. So what else is going on? Anything else cool happening?
No,
none, nothing. Are you motivated to maybe paint or assemble or flip through a book?
Maybe. I do want to try to paint this weekend. I can't see getting anything done this week. But the other thing I want to do, we were talking about video. We've got the box sets that for ESR that were sent to us. So I do want to do the unboxing video. I'll try to get that done this weekend.
Yeah, like you can say, do that. I should. Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, that wouldn't be hard. Like I say, I should be alone most of the weekend. So that'll be a good time to do it. So yeah, even if I don't paint, I'll try to get that done anyway.
There you go. I think that's a perfect way to handle it. Get it done, and you'll have those videos going, and people will be able to enjoy them. I think. I think listeners really like the video content, one, because it's fun to see, but also it's kind of a nice thing to have that comes out in between a audio podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get it. It's we need to start doing more stuff so we have more stuff to actually video. Which brings us back to not having any time. So, all right, we're done with that. Enough complaining for one night.
Speak for yourself. I'm creating once again, and I have this whole backlog of things I've created. I actually thought it would be kind of neat maybe to do a video of me narrating a photo slideshow of all the MDF projects that I've been working on. So, like, do a brief one, like a 2 or 3 minute video. I do, like, a few kits in that video and just kind of talk about briefly what I've done and good things, bad things, and brief thoughts, and put it out as a video so people can kind of see almost step by step of how I progressed, and then here's what it is, and then maybe that inspires them to tackle the same MDF kit.
Maybe.
Cool.
All right.
So if people want to keep up to date with you, how can they do that?
The Facebook groups for the show and the podcast fan club, and also Twitter, abenson229, if you want to. I've been a little bit more active on Twitter lately, but it's still not my favorite social media platform.
Well, they'll have to, because that's where you're going to ask people to get in touch with you about how they get their mojo back.
I was actually going to do that on Facebook, but I suppose I can do it on Twitter, too, if I have to.
Well, why not do both? Get everyone.
Okay.
We are, of course, on all the things as Wargaming Recon, and it's been a pleasure, as always, talking with you about all these interesting things.
Yes, a pleasure, definitely.
I thought so. So people should remember, we will be back next time with another episode. I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I don't want you to be just dying of suspense. You'll have to just wait for when it comes out to hear what we're talking about, but it'll be fun. It'll be good. It'll be another very special episode of the show, of course, right? And we'll have
the
more.
The truth is, we don't have a clue what it's going to be about yet.
Shh, don't tell them. And we'll have all that coming out to you. So remember, no matter how busy you are, no matter how much time you're spending trying to get out of that slump, know that you have to keep on gaming. Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon on your mobile device. Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the TSR Podcast Network. Visit wargamingrecon.com/TSRPN for more information and to learn about the other good shows on the network. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike license. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Wargaming Recon is dedicated to the memory of longtime listener Andrew. I ask all listeners to join me in a moment of silence in memory of Andrew. Wargaming Recon is made possible by listeners like you. Become a Patreon backer to get behind-the-scenes content and new episodes before everyone else, starting at $1 per month. Visit WargamingRecon.com/Patreon to become a Patreon backer. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by The Wargaming Company. Wish you could play a great Napoleonics wargame that's different from the same old stuff? Try ESR. ESR makes Napoleonics accessible, a complete system with you as the core commander. Start an army with ESR box sets, or use your existing collection. It's meaty enough for diehards, but friendly for newcomers. Visit thewargamingcompany.com. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by Enfilade. Enfilade is a flagship historical wargaming convention for the Northwest Historical Miniature Gaming Society. Enfilade is held annually over Memorial Day weekend at the Red Lion Inn in Olympia, Washington. Enjoy the largest historical miniature gaming convention west of the Mississippi at Enfilade. Visit www.nhmgscitadel.com for more information. Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by the Maine Historical Wargamers Association. They're the folks behind Huzzah! Historical Wargaming for New England. Huzzah will take place May 17th to the 19th, 2019 at the Doubletree in South Portland, Maine. Experience some of the best historical wargaming at Huzzah! Visit www.huzzahcon.com for more information.